Thank you for joining us here at Rhema Bible Church Sunday evening service. We think it's special that you have tuned in and that you have decided to be a part of a service. And we thank you for your commitment. We thank you for that. And so, you know, tonight as we look into the Word of God, get ready to do that, we're conscious of this fact that the news media is almost continually focused on COVID-19 situation. And there are many companies and people that are working on solutions and the vaccine and that type of thing to help combat COVID-19 and to bring this to an end. And of course, you know, we're believing God, and we know that we have called upon God just like you probably have, and that, you know, together the natural side of things is working hard to get solutions for this. And of course, in the supernatural side, we know this, that God is working mightily to bring forth His will of healing for His people. And so, we just want to certainly be thankful for all the efforts of everyone that is doing something in regard to this. Something that I've noticed that seems to be even worse, and maybe even more devastating than COVID-19 itself is what I've noticed in people, and that is the fear of COVID-19. You know, it seems to cause people, even that are not affected, but not exposed or anything like that, but they seemed, I've seen people, they're just afraid. As soon as somebody has a little bit of a cough or a little bit of something, immediately looks of fear come upon people. And you know, when people are in fear, as Pastor Hagin said this morning, you know, people do strange things. People do things they don't ordinarily do. And so, you know, so one of the things that we need to deal with as Christians especially is this: we need to learn how to deal with that fear. And we need to remember this, that the Bible gives us the antidote for the fear of COVID-19. The antidote is there. We can find it in the Word of God. The antidote to being fearful of things like this, you know, is to be consciously and intentionally remember what God has done for us through Christ, and to continually praise and bless His name for it. It's really easy to get caught up in continually watching the news, you know, what's happening, what are the updates, how many are infected now, any more died, any more recovered, all of that. And, you know, if you're not careful, we get all caught up in that, and we're just listening, you know. And of course, certainly we tune in to listen for any good news that we can find as well. But all too often, there's so much negative news that continually listening to it causes fear to rise up in our hearts and in our mind, and it has an adverse effect upon us. And so here's what I would encourage us to do. We need to do what David said to do. And in Psalms 103 and verse 1 through 5, I want to read that portion of Scripture. David found himself in a time when he needed to do something, and he said these verses. This is what he instructed himself to do. But you know, when it's in the Word of God, that's our instruction as well. So let's look at this. Verse 1 of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, these verses aren't just for those who were living in that time, not just for David, not just for the Jews under the old covenant, but they're also for us who are in the new covenant. It really is. Here's why. Jesus, hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, suffering on our behalf, has made available these benefits to everyone in the new covenant. And so we know this, that through what Jesus did at the cross, that all the promises of God are yes and amen to us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that. And that we have every benefit that they had in the old covenant, and we have more because we have a better covenant established upon better promises, according to Hebrews 8:6. And so I just want to encourage you here that there is a choice we have, you know, to think about the virus, to listen in all of that, wonder when it's coming, knock on our door, when is it going to come, what are we going to do, how's this going to affect me, how sick am I going to get, all of that. You know, those thoughts go through people's minds. But the important thing is these thoughts come, and we need to let them move on through. Don't hold on to those thoughts. Instead, we need to do what David said to do, and that is that we choose intentionally what we think about. We are to bless the Lord. You know, it's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the mind, of maintaining victory in times like this. You know, every person, it doesn't matter what situation it is, could be this kind of situation, could be other kinds of situations, but there's always the battle of the mind that needs to be fought, and because the enemy attacks our mind with thoughts of fear, of negativity, of are we going to make it? You're not going to make it. How many of you have ever heard that voice? You're not going to make it. You know, you know, or some other thoughts, you know, you'll be the first one to be sick in your family. You know, you're always the one to get it. And so we have these thoughts come. But here's the thing. We need to decide what thoughts we're going to hold on to. David held on to the thoughts that he described here. Matter of fact, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He said it not only in verse 1, but he repeated it in verse 2. And it shows this, that he is emphasizing that. He's kind of talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself? You know, sometimes we need a talking to. And you know, it's better if we do it than if somebody else does it. That's what I found out. And so, so I talk to myself. I tell myself, "Now, Marvin, you need to bless the Lord." Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes my feelings are not what they should be. And, the Bible says one thing and I'm feeling another. And so I have to talk to myself and say, "Bless the Lord. Now's a good time to praise God." Actually, the word "bless" right there means to praise. Give praise to God. Actually, this in the Hebrew, it means this. It carries this connotation that we are to praise God with a strong affection for Him, as well as a sense of gratitude. Friend, let's keep praising God. Let's keep thinking about God. Let's keep expressing our gratitude toward God because He's certainly worthy of it. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's not, as one man did to me one time. He didn't appreciate the praise courses that we were singing in this one particular church. And so he came to me and he said, "Brother Marvin," He said, "I don't like those praise courses that we're singing." And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "What happened? I mean, is there something wrong?" And he said, "I don't like that." I said, "Well, what don't you like about it?" He said, "I just praise God in my heart." But you know, the psalmist said not only to praise God in our heart, and certainly we ought to come praise God out of our heart, but there ought to be some expression of praise. There ought to be some sound of praise that comes forth out of our mouth. So it ought to involve our thinking. It ought to involve our emotions. It ought to involve our will and our mind and everything about us. He said, all that is within me. He said, you praise God with everything you got. Don't do it half-hearted, David. And I'm telling myself, Marvin, how many of you ever had to do that? You know, tell yourself, now you cut out this half-hearted stuff and you get with it. It's time to put your heart into it. I remember there were times when I was growing up on the farm and my dad, you know, he'd give us chores to do and we'd do it, you know, half-hearted and everything. And finally, you know, if we didn't get that straightened out, my dad would tell me, he said, you cut out that half-hearted stuff and you get with it. We're not going to be messing around here. And I want to tell you something. That's kind of the attitude that I see here. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself. Now you cut out that half-hearted stuff and you just start praising God. Come on, let's get everything involved about our being. Let's get our mind. Let's get our will. Let's get our emotion. Let's get our body involved. Yeah, let's get our heart involved. Let's get our mouth involved in praising God, worshiping God, and blessing His name. Listen to me. When you start doing that, there's some things that start happening. And so the idea there is, Albert Barnes says, is that God is worthy of all the praise and adoration which the entire man can render to Him. Wow. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? You could praise Him for 10,000 years. And like the old hymn says, you can keep praising Him. You know, listen to me. And He's still worthy of more. He's still worthy of more. He goes on and he says this in verse 2. Forget not all His benefit. Forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. This is an important point right here that I want to make. In the Hebrew, it gives this idea to mislay or to be oblivious of. Wow. It means, have you ever mislaid something? Or just laid it down carelessly or didn't think about it when you laid it down, and later it became really important because you couldn't remember where it was at. You know, sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we get busy with the things of life. And man, we find that all of a sudden we've mislaid something important called praising God and blessing God and remembering the benefits that God has for us. It means to be oblivious of, from want of memory or attention, according to Strong. Another source says this, that the words forget not has this meaning, to ignore or to wither. And so how many of you have ever heard this, that from a, you know, speaking of the human body, that if you don't use certain limbs or muscles over a long period of time, that the muscles will atrophy, they will actually shrivel, they will wither. They really will. And so here's the thing. You know, you can stop worshiping and praising God, you know, and everything, and you might go along here for a day or two, a week. Who knows how long you can keep coasting on what you have done already. But you know, at some point, the faith that you have is not going to be as sharp as it was. It's not going to be, it'll seem that the edge is gone, that you're not as willing to move into the things that God has blessed you with and acknowledging that. And so let's not let our faith shrivel or wither in times like this. But here's the thing. Here's something else that this word means, the words forget not. Another source says it this way. It denotes a willful choice to ignore something that a person knows they should do. How many of you know we should praise God? You know, we should praise God. We should make sure that we are conscious of the benefits that God has brought to us, the benefits that are in our covenant. We should know that. But sometimes in the middle of everything, you know, we let it go. We let it go. I know people that have let it go. I've watched over the years. There's people sorry to tell you that, and you've probably seen it too, that started out with you perhaps maybe about the same time in the faith, believing God, God's promises, rejoicing, happy in the Lord. Somewhere along the line, they laid it down and let go of it. The picture here is like a woman that, you know, there'd be something wrong if a woman would forget her infant. That would really be something wrong there, wouldn't it? Or how about a young lady that's getting ready to get married, and she decides she's not going to wear everything that's been provided for her. She's not going to put on the jewelry or something like that. There would be something wrong with that, wouldn't it? And so there's this forget not. There's this strong admonition. Don't forget. Don't forget. Amen. If you look over in Luke chapter 13, there's the story of where Jesus went into a synagogue. There was a woman that had been, that was bowed over. She has bent way over, more than I just bent over right there. And she was so bent over all the time. And Jesus said she was bent over for 18 years. Well, he didn't waste any time offering her healing. And he looked at the leaders and said, "Ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed on the Sabbath? Wouldn't it be okay if I did this on Sunday?" You know, that's how we would say it. And he healed her. But here's the thing. Did you know that all of those 18 years, the healing that she needed was in the covenant that they had, in the old covenant. But they neglected and forgot, didn't pay attention to, or weren't, didn't make any effort to bring forth healing for this woman. They didn't appropriate the healing that was in the covenant for this woman. And Jesus, who was conscious of the benefits in the old covenant, as soon as he saw her, offered her healing, and she was healed that day. Listen to me, my friend. There's a real picture here, a contrast between the forgetfulness, the neglect of the religious leaders toward this woman in not bringing healing to her, and Jesus being conscious of the benefits and remembering and not forgetting what was in the covenant. And as soon as he saw her, he was able to bring forth healing to her, and she was able to straighten up. Can you imagine straightening up after 18 years? I mean, I'll tell you the truth about it. I can't imagine being bent over for 18 years. But the freedom and the joy and the happiness that comes with appropriating something into our lives that's in the covenant, we see God moving. Man, that's a tremendous thing. Amen. How many of you were like me when I grew up? You know, my mom, she had this idea that we ought to take vitamins, and she made us take cod liver oil and all of that stuff, you know. And oh my goodness, she told us it would help us to be strong in our immune system. And so, you know, we did it grudgingly. But she was intentional about it. She would not forget. We hoped she'd forget, but she didn't. She would make us take a vitamin C. She would make us, when we first grew up, when I was a little smaller, we didn't have the capsules, and so you had to take a spoonful of cod liver oil. That was a bad moment. That was always a bad moment. Oh, whew. Anyway, I can still taste it. I just tasted it when I mentioned it right there. Anyway, but later we got some capsules, so it was easier. We weren't so reluctant then because you swallowed it real quick and everything. And so anyway, so we were to be intentional about taking our vitamins. I'm going to tell you this. You and I need to be intentional about remembering the benefits of the covenant that we have with God, and spend time thinking about that and praising God like David did. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you look at all these benefits. In verse 3, he says he forgives all our iniquities. He forgives all our iniquities. In verse 3, he also says he heals all our diseases. That includes COVID-19. Amen. There's no new disease that puzzles God. God is not scratching his head and said, I'd help you, but I don't have any answers either. No, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. God has provided for every sickness and every disease that could possibly come to mankind. He says he healed all our diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. In Matthew 8:17 it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. In the middle of all of this, instead of being afraid, remember what Jesus did. He bore my sicknesses. Amen. And even if I would catch it, if I get COVID-19, listen, God said he'd heal me. No need to fear. Amen. He also says this, he redeems our life from destruction, or as the word means in the Hebrew, the pit. From the pit. We say this sometimes, you know, where did that come from? And how many of you have ever said that? Christian language here. You know, it came from the pit. You know, what we meant was it came from the devil. And that's something that you and I need to remember too. In the middle of this kind of situation we're going through, the real enemy is the devil. It's not people. We are not warring against flesh and blood. Don't be mad at other people, and don't get upset with people that are not at the same place in their faith as you might be. Don't be impatient with people who you see that are afraid. Perhaps it's your opportunity to say something kind to them, something helpful to them. Do something, let them get ahead of you in the checkout line. How about that? You know, just something nice. Somebody did that to me the other day, and it was just like, wow. In the middle of all of this, somebody said, go ahead. I tell you, that was a really amazing thing. And so, people just need all kinds of help. And so, we have been redeemed from the pit of hell. We have been redeemed from all that comes from the pit. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He really has. Then, you know, that curse of the law is threefold, as Brother Hagin so ably pointed out in his book, Redeemed from the Curse of the Law. Sickness, poverty, and death. And he says it's sickness, poverty, and death, the threefold things, you know, that we have been redeemed from. And so then he also says that we have been redeemed, but also now he says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. In the Hebrew, it gives the idea not just of something's being set on your head, but that he surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's not heaping wrath and anger upon us. He's not doing that kind of thing. What's he doing? He's heaping loving kindness and tender mercies upon us. Oh, my friend, listen to me. If you just realize how God's working on our behalf, and God's doing everything we let him do. Oh, my friend, listen to me. You know, when you praise God and you begin to think about these things, you begin to talk about these things rather than how bad a COVID-19 situation is. Listen to me. That allows God to begin moving in your life. It helps build a consciousness in you of what God is doing. David said, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. For you have with favor, you will surround him with a shield. Listen to me. God has surrounded us with good things. Surrounded us with good things. Paul said this in one of his places here. Let me see here. He said in 2 Timothy 4:8, he said, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. He is bestowing that upon me. Not just Paul, but also us. James said that we will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't you love him? Don't you know God has crowned you and brought his own life, his own kind of life, the Zoe kind of life inside of you and filled you with that. I mean, he has crowned you with everlasting life. Amazing. And then I love this one, what Peter said. Listen to this. He said this, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. In other words, can you imagine the glory of God settling upon you? Can you imagine that? That's something to be excited about. I'll tell you, that's an out of this world experience, you know? You know, that God would, his glory would just settle upon us, and all around us is his glory. We're in this. And so, you know, Peter anticipated that. And then finally in verse 5, he says he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies, or as some translations say, filled. And so it's like a thirsty man who hadn't had a drink for a while, and his strength has waned and his energy level has gone down, but who finally gets to the water and he starts drinking a little water and then a little more and a little more, and he just keeps drinking until he gets his fill of water and his thirst is satisfied. Amen. And so God said this in Isaiah 58:11. He said he will satisfy our soul in drought. How will he do that? Well, he wants us to fill up with his word. He wants to fill us up with thoughts of his goodness, of his benefits, of what he has provided in the covenant that through Jesus Christ. And so Psalms 91:16, you probably know this, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Listen to me, God wants to satisfy you and bring you into a place of being filled up with good things. Notice what he said in that verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Listen to me, I think the word mouth right there has been inserted there for a good reason. Listen to me, if I can get my mouth engaged in talking about the good things of God, listen to me, that seems to be the open door whereby those good things can enter into every area of my life. It's when I talk about the good thing. You know, God goes according to what our word and what we say. You know, one in Matthew chapter 8, there's an incident there where Jesus fed 4,000 people. He was teaching them all day. It got late, and he looked at the disciples and said, "What are we going to do? Do you have some food for these people?" And the disciples replied, "They had 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes." And they asked him this question in verse 4, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" But we know this, that Jesus took the 7 loaves and the few fishes. He blessed them, handed them to the disciples. They set it out, and all the people were fed. And there were 7 large baskets of leftover fragments, is what the scripture tells us. Listen to me. He did not just give them enough to be satisfied. He gave them overflowing amount, more than what they could handle. Listen to me. That sounds like what the psalmist said in Psalms 23, verse 5. He said, "My cup runs over. My cup runs over." Listen to me. God is not upset that you have more than enough. He has provided more than enough. And listen to me. Every need in the world has not challenged his provision. He is well able to provide for everyone all at once. Listen to me. What he wants from us is to call out, call upon his name and ask him for these things. Because you see, these benefits are available. They're here now. These have been provided for us. They're ours for the asking, ours for the reaching, ours for the taking by faith. That's the message of the gospel, is that God has provided what we need at Calvary's cross. Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." The Common English Bible says it this way, "Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation supports us day by day." or day after day. Listen to me. Every day, there is the provision of God. Every day, whatever you need, God wants to supply that need. He wants to meet that need. He wants to fill that void with His provision. Listen to me. Wouldn't you, you know, let's be diligent about calling upon His name. Let's be conscious of thinking and praising God for His bountiful provision. In Psalms 116, verse 12, David asked this question. He said, "What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me?" Wow. New King James says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Well, he answers it in the next verse, verse 13. He says it this way. He said, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." The New Living Translation says, "and praise the Lord's name for saving me." Listen to me. We ought to praise God. We ought to praise God. If you're like me, you fought a number of battles to be where you're at. Sometimes your mind, you know, worked overtime. One lady said to me one time, she was listening to me preach and talking about the mind and dealing with thoughts and things of that nature. And she said this, she said to me, she said, "I need help." She said, if my mind was a racehorse, I'd come in first. Meaning her thoughts work so fast. I just had to laugh a little bit. And I had to admit, you know, sometimes the thoughts really go in our mind, but it's a battle we fight. David fought that battle. Paul fought that battle. Jesus even fought that battle. We all fight that battle of you know, just thinking the thoughts of God, remembering the covenant we have, being persuaded that the benefits are ours, standing strong in appropriating these things by faith, being quick to praise God in the midst of adverse circumstances like what we're going through right now. And so let's just do this right now, right where you're at, in your home, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching. I just want to encourage you right now. Let's take a moment and let's just, if you can lift your arms, if you can lift your hands to the Lord, just praise God, just magnify His name. You know, He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him for His benefit of forgiveness. You know, that's a great benefit. We praise You, Father, for Your forgiveness. We praise You for Your healing. We praise You for Your redemption. We praise You that You crown us. We praise You, Father God, that you have satisfied and filled us. Glory to God. We thank You, Father God, for all these things. We worship You and magnify You and honor You and thank You that You're doing a mighty work. We thank You these things are happening in our lives. Father God, we are reaching out with our faith. Thank You, Lord. We receive those things now in the name of Jesus. We honor You and glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are mine. These are mine. I'm receiving them now. You're not withholding. You're giving liberally to those who would dare to ask You. And so we praise You and thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to praise God. It's good to praise God. It's good to thank God. It's good to give Him glory for what He's doing in our lives. Now, I'm just going to do this. I sense there's somebody right now that's watching right now. You're not sick. You're not infected. You're not, you don't even, you know, you've not been exposed. That's not the problem. But I sense there's somebody watching right now that you have been affected financially by this COVID situation and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't really have any answers for that. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these people that have been affected financially, negatively, adversely. They don't know where to go or what to do. And I'm asking You, Lord God, to help them right now. Make a way. Show them a way. Lord, You said You would guide us in the way that we should go. And so I'm asking You, guide these people in the way they should go. Open doors of finances to them. Help their every need to be met, Father God. We break the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We say in the name of Jesus that Father God, that you satisfy them, fill them to overflowing, hallelujah, with what you have for them, in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to repeat a quick prayer, not a long prayer, just a quick prayer, and you know you need to know Jesus. And if you're not living for God, you've kind of drifted away, and you know you need to get back. You know you need to get back with God. Let's pray a prayer real quickly, just you and I, and let's pray together, and let's believe God to come back, to receive Christ as Savior, or if you need to come back to the Lord, to rededicate your life. So let's pray. Just repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have forgiven me through Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross, who died for my sins, and redeemed me from death and hell. Thank you, Father, for receiving me as your child, and that you are now my Heavenly Father. Thank you now that I am saved. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I thank you, Father, that I'm now in the covenant with God. I thank you that your covenant benefits are now mine, in Jesus' name. Thank you for praying that prayer. That on the screen, there's a slide there that says partnerservice@rhema.org. Email us. Let us know that you prayed that prayer. And I want to tell you something. We got some literature for you that we want to send to you. And so just want to tell you again, no matter who you are, what you're facing right now, listen to me. Don't forget the benefits of the covenant. Don't forget the benefit. Do what David did. Stir yourself up. Remember what Jesus did for you. Thank you again for joining us in this service at Rhema Bible Church. Don't forget to watch online again Wednesday night, Hour of Power at 7 p.m. with Pastor Hagen being here. And we just thank you so much for your participation and your commitment. God bless you.